Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're the show that takes complex topics, pulls out the key facts, the surprising bits, and helps you get, well, really informed. Today, we're taking a good look at a chapter all about the sun. It's more than just that bright thing in the sky.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's this huge engine basically driving almost all life here on Earth.
Yes.
And we're figuring out some really smart ways to use its power.
Yeah, exactly. It warms us up, helps plants grow, gives us daylight. But it's also this massive natural resource.
Right. And understanding the sun, it's not just like niche astronomy. It helps you grasp so much else.
Like what sort of things?
Well, fundamental stuff. Photosynthesis, for one, how plants even eat. Weather patterns, why we have seasons.
Ah, okay.
And even clean energy, you know, solar power. It all comes back to the sun.
So the source material we looked at gets into some interesting questions, right? Like, why is the sunrise? How do solar panels actually make electricity?
Precisely. Those foundational questions. The aim here, really, is to help you connect those dots, maybe become a bit of a solar savant by the end of this.
I like that. Solar savant. Okay, let's unpack the sun itself then. The chapter really emphasizes it as Earth's main energy source, which sounds obvious, but the scale of it.
It's immense. It's constantly pouring out light and heat, just nonstop energy. And that's the foundation for, well, everything. Every ecosystem, all life.
It's just our nearest star, right? That's why it looks so big.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not unusually massive compared to other stars. It's just close, relatively speaking,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, cosmic distances.
But that closeness means we get this constant bath of heat and light. That's solar energy in a nutshell.
Mm.
And without it, no warmth, no food, no life as we know it. Simple as that.
Okay, so that energy is key. And the source really dug into how plants use it. That's pretty fundamental. How do plants eat exactly?
Right. It's a great question. Plants are what we call autotrophs. Fancy word, but it just means they make their own food. They do it through photosynthesis. They take sunlight, water from the soil, and gases from the air, specifically carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they use the sunlight's energy to turn that into glucose. That's a type of sugar, basically their food. It fuels their growth.
So the plant makes its own energy from sunlight.
Yes.
And then we eat the plant.
Exactly. Or we eat an animal that ate the plant. So indirectly, that solar energy powers us too. It flows right through the food web. Almost all the energy life uses traces back to the sun.
Wow. Okay. That really puts it in perspective. And like you said, we've learned to harness it more directly too, haven't we?
We have. And it's not even just a modern thing, you know. People have used sunlight for ages.
How so?
Well, think about cooking food with focused sunlight. Or just keeping warm by sitting in the sun.
Mm.
Drying clothes. It's using solar energy. Simple, but effective. Early solar tech, if you will.
Huh. Right. And now we've got things like solar cells. The source gets into those.
Yes, the modern leap. Solar cells are pretty amazing bits of tech. They take light energy, photons, and convert them directly into electrical energy.
And those panels we see on roofs, those are just lots of these cells put together.
That's it. Solar panels are arrays of solar cells all working together to capture as much sunlight as possible and generate electricity for a home or a building or even bigger power plants.
So what kind of things can that solar electricity power in a house?
Pretty much anything that needs electricity. Light bulbs, obviously.
Yeah.
Water pumps, fridges, TVs, you name it.
Okay.
The source also mentioned solar cookers, clever devices using mirrors or lenses to focus sunlight for cooking, and solar water heaters, which are quite common for heating water using the sun's warmth.
And just drying clothes on a line still counts.
Absolutely. Still, a very practical use of solar energy, low tech, high efficiency.
The source had some fun flash facts, too. I like this one. Solar panels don't run on fuel. They need just sunlight.
Simple but important. No combustion, no fuel deliveries.
And sunlight is clean, free, and never runs out. It's renewable. That's the big appeal, isn't it?
That's the core advantage, yes. It's a sustainable energy source.
There was also a misconception alert about sunlight only being useful in summer.
Ah, yes, that's a common one.
Yeah.
People think if it's not hot and sunny, solar panels aren't working.
But they are.
They are. The sun is still providing energy, even on cloudy days or in winter.
Yeah.
Maybe less intensely than bright summer sun, sure. But the light still gets through and the panels still generate electricity. Its energy is always there for us.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's shift gears a bit. Seasons. How does the sun create summer, winter, all of that?
Right, another big topic linked to the sun.
Yeah.
First, the sun is a huge factor in our daily weather. You know, is it hot, cold, rainy today?
Sure.
A season is basically when those weather conditions stick around for a longer period.
Okay, like a pattern.
Exactly. And what causes these long-term patterns? It's Mostly down to two things. Earth's orbit around the sun, which takes about 365 days.
Our year.
Our year, yes. And crucially, the tilt of Earth's axis. This is the key part.
The tilt. How does that work?
Well, Earth isn't sitting straight up and down as it goes around the sun. It's tilted on its axis, about 23.5 degrees.
Okay.
So as we orbit, that tilt means different parts of the Earth get more direct sunlight at different times of the year. More direct sun means more heat and light, longer days. That's summer.
Ah, I see. So when the northern hemisphere is tilted towards the sun, we get summer, and the southern hemisphere gets winter.
Precisely, and vice versa. It's all about the angle of the sunlight hitting the surface.
Our source used India as an example, mentioning five seasons there.
Yes, different regions categorize seasons slightly differently based on their climate. The source listed summer, monsoon, autumn, winter, and spring for India.
Can you quickly walk us through the characteristics from the source?
Sure. Summer, that's where you get the most direct, strong sunlight. So hot, bright, long days, short nights.
Got it.
Monsoon. Often cloudy, so less direct sun actually reaches the ground. Lots of rain, very wet. Crucial for farming, but can cause floods too. Autumn. Sunlight becomes less intense than summer. It gets cooler, drier. Trees start shedding leaves. A transition season. Winter. The sunlight is weakest, hitting us at more of a slant. It's cold, chilly, sometimes frosty or snowy, depending on where you are. Days are short, nights are long.
Right.
And spring. The gentle sunlight starts coming back. Things get pleasant, fresh. Lots of green, flowers blooming. A renewal.
It's really amazing how that tilt orchestrates everything.
It really is.
Another fun flash from the source drove this home. The Earth tilts a little, but that's why we get different seasons. Simple as that.
Yep. And the consequence. Days are longer in summer and shorter in winter.
And this one blew my mind a bit. Antarctica has 6 months of daylight and 6 months of night.
That's the extreme effect of the tilt right at the poles. When one pole is tilted towards the sun, it gets constant daylight for months, while the other is tilted away in constant darkness.
Wild. And another misconception alert here, a really big one.
Let me guess. The sun goes around the Earth.
That's the one. People see the sun rise and set and think it's moving around us.
It's a natural assumption based on observation, but nope. It's Earth that's orbiting the sun. That movement, combined with a tilt, gives us our seasons, not the sun circling us.
Okay, so we've covered the sun's energy, how we use it, how it drives seasons. This brings us to, well, the bigger picture of energy choices, right? For the future.
Exactly. Energy for tomorrow. Our source makes a really important distinction here between different types of energy sources.
Which are?
Renewable and non-renewable. Renewable sources are things like sunlight, wind, water. They replenish naturally. They don't really run out on a human time scale.
Okay, like solar energy we've been talking about.
Precisely. Then you have non-renewable sources. These are finite, things like coal, natural gas, petroleum, fossil fuels. We use them up, and once they're gone, they're essentially gone for good or take millions of years to form again.
The source had that little story, didn't it? Rocky and Ray?
Ah, yes. A simple way to think about it. Rocky, the non-renewable guy, says something like, I work fast, but I'll run out soon.
And Ray, representing renewables like sun and wind, says, I may be slower sometimes, but I last forever. It captures the trade-off.
So given that distinction, what's the takeaway? Why does it matter which ones we use?
Well, it leads directly to the idea of conservation, because those non-renewable resources are running out, and often using them creates pollution.
Right.
Conserving energy isn't just about saving money on your bills, though that's nice too. It's fundamentally about protecting those limited resources, reducing pollution, and keeping the planet healthy for everyone now and in the future. It's crucial.
And the good thing is, the source gave a whole list of practical things people can actually do. It's not just abstract.
Definitely. Very actionable steps. Like simple stuff.
Yeah.
Switching off lights and fans when you leave a room. Turning off the TV or video games properly. Not just leaving them on standby.
Small habits, big collective impact.
And water use, too. Taking shorter showers instead of deep baths. Turning off the tap when you brush your teeth. Fixing drips.
Water requires energy to process and pump, so saving water saves energy.
Transportation choices came up too. Walking or cycling for short trips. Using public transport or carpooling instead of everyone driving alone.
Reduces fuel consumption and emissions, absolutely.
Even things around the house. Using energy efficient bulbs like LEDs or CFLs. Opening windows when it's cool instead of blasting the AC.
Smart choices.
Yeah.
Being mindful of appliance use, like not standing with the fridge door open deciding what you want.
Guilty as charged sometime.
We all are. But being aware helps. and planting trees that helps keep the air clean, which is part of the bigger environmental picture.
All good, practical tips. And it connects back to another misconception alert source mentioned.
Which one was that?
The idea that electricity just comes from switches.
Ah, right. Like magic.
Yeah. But the point is, electricity has to be made, generated, using energy sources, coal, gas, hydro, solar, whatever. Flicking the switch uses up some of that source.
Exactly. So using electricity wisely is directly connected to conserving those primary energy sources and reducing the impact of generating that power. It's not magic. It's resource use.
So wrapping this all up, it feels like we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
I think so.
From the sheer power of the sun as our energy source, how life itself uses it through photosynthesis, to how we now harness it with solar panels.
Mm, and connecting that to the tilt of the earth creating our seasons.
Right. Summer, winter, all of that. And then bringing it back to our energy choices, renewable versus non-renewable. And why conservation is just so, so important.
Absolutely. And hopefully you can see how all this connects directly to your life. The food you eat started with sunlight, the weather outside, driven by solar energy, and Earth's tilt. The power in your home comes from sources we need to manage wisely.
It really makes you think differently about just looking up at the sky or flicking on a light switch.
That's the goal. Understanding these fundamentals helps us appreciate our planet more and hopefully make better choices for its future.
And speaking of the future, we want to leave you with one final thought from the source material to chew on. A provocative question.
Okay, let's hear it.
What will happen if we only use coal and petrol forever? Think. Will pollution and smoke increase?
A sobering question to ponder. Something definitely worth thinking about.
Indeed. Food for thought until our next deep dive.